Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
But hey, we are in the middle of a series called Know Thy Voice. It's all about understanding what the voice of God sounds like. You know someone by their voice. If you pick up the phone and someone speaks, you know it's them. When Meryl calls me and I pick up the phone, I don't need to see who's calling. I know her voice. And so this series has all been about understanding the character of God. Because if you know who God's voice sounds like, if you know what he sounds like, you know who he is. And if we know God, then we can follow in the path he set before us and we can live a right life. There's an amazing verse in Psalms, which I really love. It says that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. And I love that. And I love that in the series, we've been looking and exploring what it means to know the voice of God. Because I know in my life, there's certain situations where I want to know what my next step is. Should I take that job? Should I come to North Campus? Should I go to church? Should I keep seeking God's voice or should I stop? And I know that when we know God's voice, we can follow what his voice is and what he's saying, that we can live a full life that he intended for us to live. And so today's message is titled, Jesus the Gate. We've been sitting in the book of John chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to that. John chapter 10. And we've just been moving through the verses. And it's a parable that Jesus shares about the shepherd and the sheep. So the sheep are us, people of God, seeking after his voice. And the shepherd is God himself. It's Jesus. And in chapter 10 of John, it talks about how the shepherd cares for the sheep. And that the shepherd know his voice, that they recognize his voice. And so as Jesus speaks, the sheep follow him and they know where they're going and they have protection in Jesus. And it's a beautiful parable about how Jesus is our shepherd. He's a good shepherd and how we can follow his voice to find full life. And so there, I'm just going to read from verses 7 to 10. And this is Jesus continuing the parable. So you're reading along on the screen behind me. It says, therefore Jesus said again. So this is Jesus repeating his words. He said, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in at night and find pasture. Who would love a bit of pasture in their lives? An oasis of peace. They will come in tonight and find pasture. Verse 10, this is a key verse. This is something we talk a lot about church because it's just so central to who we are and why we do what we do as a church. Verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and life to the full. Jesus is stressing a point here. He came to give us full life. So you may be sitting in this room and you may think back to a time in your life where someone has come to steal life from you. That you feel that life has been sucked away for you. But I have good news for you today that Jesus said in verse 10 that he has come that we may have full life, have life and have it to the full. And that is good news. That is very good news. And so Jesus is stressing this point that he came to give us full life. And the life he talks about isn't just a mediocre life. It's not just an average life. It's a life to the surplus. It's a life to the surplus. Who wants a full life? I know I do. Even if we may not want to speak it out, we may feel that we deserve a full life. And so this message is going to help you if you are looking for full life and you want to know how Jesus fits into that. And it's going to be great. There are others that promise life. And so Jesus talks about the thieves and robbers who come to steal, kill, and destroy. But they're not for you. The full life that God has for you only comes through Jesus. And so these other voices that are in our lives are not for us, but Jesus is. And I love how throughout this passage, Jesus kind of talks about this theme of being the shepherd. And a shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. And so Jesus not only tells us that he has full life for us, but that he proves it by laying down his life for us, that he's going to provide that full life, and it's an abundant life. But, you know, when we read these verses in the Bible, and Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and life to the full, sometimes we're a little bit skeptical. We may not believe it at first sight. And I have a story around being skeptical. So I love to hike with my dad. I was born and raised in Hong Kong. And it's a very hilly terrain. And so on the summers when I'd be back home from school, I would go on hikes with my dad. That's how we would bond. We would have great conversations and just enjoy the nature. And so one day, it's a Saturday morning, and I had my plans figured out. But dad asked me, hey, do you want to join me on a hike? And I kind of just gave him a look and, you know, wasn't super convinced. And he said, you know, you won't regret it. It's going to be amazing. There's going to be full life. It was full of promise. He even promised me that along this hike, we would see the biggest waterfall in Hong Kong. And I was kind of on the edge. I didn't really commit to it. And that was probably because he was probably trying to convince me because in the past, I'd gone on hikes with him and they left me hot, sweaty, and exhausted. And so I wasn't super convinced that I wanted to get on this hike. But I ended up going on the hike, and it was better than advertised. And since that day, I've never regretted going on a hike with my dad. I share this story because I think, when I think of verse 10, I think maybe people do get skeptical about the abundant life message. Jesus says that I've come to give you full life and abundant life. And we hear that promise, but we're like, you know, Jesus, are you sure? Are you really true to your word? There's also the hope of Jesus. We, as a church, we proclaim the hope of Jesus. We proclaim that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you might be here today, and you may have heard that message in the past, and you've been left disappointed. And I think we've been led to believe that sometimes a life that's full and a sweet and full life is at odds with a life of following Jesus. We may think of religion or church and think of being a Christian as not being a fun thing. I know I've been there before. I grew up in the church, and there were times where I would doubt, is this full life that God has for me? Is it really true? Is that really real? And so that's what we're going to unpackage in this sermon today. We're going to talk about the full life that Jesus brings. I'm just going to get us kicked off with point one. I've never done this before, so this is an exciting moment. So point one. Thank you. Thanks for the love. All right. That's good. I made sure my friends were spread out around, so thanks for sticking to your roles, guys. I really appreciate it. So point one, getting back to this passage, is our full life is only truly accessed when Jesus is the gate. So if you've got a notebook, you can write that down. I'm a forgetful person, and so we as a church, we love to take notes. So that can be on your phone, in a notebook. If you are on your phone, I'm always going to believe in faith that you're taking notes. I'm never going to think that you're ordering your lunch. I'm not going to think you're texting your friend. So feel free to get out your phone and take notes if that's helpful for you. So point one, our full life is only truly accessed when Jesus is the gate. Why is Jesus the gate? So if you read earlier in the passage in John 10, Jesus is described as a shepherd. And so you might be wondering, well, how can Jesus be both the shepherd and the gate? Well, the answer is he can. And the reason why is at that time, so the sheep would be out grazing in the pasture, getting all their, you know, hay and grass and whatever sheep eat. And they would come back at night and they would come back to a safe place, a space of security. And there would be an open doorway, an entry point, an area of access. And what the shepherd would do is he himself would be the gate. So the shepherd would get all the sheep in, corral them in, make sure that no one was left behind. And he himself would sleep along the entranceway to make sure that he knew everything that was coming in. That's the heart of Jesus for you, that he is the entry point. And he doesn't only point us to the access point, but he himself is willing to lay down as a form of protection for us. And so it's about security. The shepherd loves the sheep. The shepherd cares for the sheep and wants for them to be secure. Security, airport security. So I have a funny story about airport security, about access. So a couple of months ago, I had the opportunity to travel with Pastor Sam to C3 San Diego. This is C3 Toronto, but we are a family of over 600 churches across the world. And I love that we have a C3 global family. And so Pastor Sam was going over there to preach and he said, do you want to come along? And I was like, you know what? That sounds like a fun time. So this is my first time spending extended time with Pastor Sam, and we're flying together. And I remember packing my bags and telling Meryl, I'm like, man, like, this is so exciting. I'm traveling with Pastor Sam. It's going to be great. So we get to the airport. It's an early morning flight, flying direct to San Diego. And what do you expect at the airport? You check in and you go through security. So Pastor Sam goes ahead of me, and then I have my bag as well. And we're going through security, and you know, the bags go through, you take off your shoes, take off your laptop, you know, all smooth. And then my bag gets pulled aside. And I think to myself, oh, this is interesting. Meryl has helped me develop a skincare routine. And so I have little serums and little gels, but I know that those are always below 100 millimeters. So I'm thinking, what could possibly be in my bag? So the guy flags me over. Is this your bag? Whose bag is this? I walk over. And the gentleman starts rummaging through, and his partner points out the front pocket. He unzips the front pocket, and what does he pull out? A penknife. And if you've ever traveled on the plane before, you know that a penknife probably isn't the thing that you want to be traveling with. It was actually a gift from my father-in-law, who's here today. And so, sorry, Dad, that penknife you gave me, it belongs to TSA now. And so... But the funny thing about the story is I don't know what was more embarrassing. I know if it was more embarrassing to have my penknife removed from my bag or having to explain to my pastor why my bag got pulled off the thing. And so the reason why we have security at the gate is because if full life, if you think of a flight or the destination you're going to, if that is full life, we can't let everything pass through that barrier. That's why we have airport security. If we're going to experience the full life that God has for us on that plane, we need security. We need that barrier. We can't let everything fall through. Not everything that we carry in our baggage, not everything we carry in the baggage of our word supports the full life that God has for us. If you want to access full life, we can't take everything on with us. The same way that the life I wanted to have in San Diego and this journey I wanted to go on, I couldn't bring the penknife. It can't pass through. It doesn't happen that way. But here's the thing. We must give Jesus the authority to be our gate. Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So in John 14:6, Jesus says these words. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if we're going to access the full life that Jesus has for us, the full life that we find in God, it can only come through the gate of Jesus. And that's kind of a controversial statement. The exclusivity of Jesus, the idea that Jesus is the only way, he's not one of many ways, that he is the only truth, not one of many truths, and that he is the life, the full life. So there's many people who will offer you different versions of life, but Jesus here in this passage is saying that I am the only true life. And here's the thing, God created us and he knows us better than we know ourselves. So that's why we must give him authority to be our gate, because he knows us, he created us, he knows everything that we need. In verse 7 of that passage in John 10, Jesus starts with the words, truly I tell you, very truly I tell you. And other versions of the Bible might say, verily, verily. Say that. That sounds funny. Verily, verily. Verily, verily, I truly. And so why does Jesus say these words? He's trying to draw on the listeners and he's trying to tell them, you need to trust me. Do you trust the voice of God? When God speaks, do you listen? And do you trust that what he's saying is true? And so he says that I am the gate and whoever enters through me will be saved. And so I think it's so important to know and remind ourselves that God created us, because if he's the one who created us, he knows us better than we know ourselves. And we can listen to him when he speaks and says that he is the gate. There's an amazing passage in Romans 8, verse 27 and 20. I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation. And it really hones in this point that God knows us, he created us, and he has destined good things for us. It says this, starting at verse 27. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings. Yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives, every single detail, is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. So I'm just going to break down this passage and highlight a couple of things which I think you would find quite encouraging. God, the search of our hearts. So this passage is saying not only has God created us, but he knows the depths of our hearts. We all have longings. We all have dreams and aspirations. Some of them we write down in a notebook at the beginning of the year. I hope to do by the end of the year, or I hope to get this job, or I hope to get married. We all have hopes and aspirations. No matter what stage of life you're in today, we all have hopes and aspirations. But I love how Jesus says in this passage that he fully knows our longings. Because you see, there are some hopes and aspirations that we have. They're words that God has given to us. But there's some things which we don't even dare say to someone. There's some dreams which are so grand and big in our mind. When you think of a full life that God has for you, there are probably things which are so great that saying it out loud is a little scary. Because if you say it, it may not come to pass. And so God knows these things. Yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit. And I love how in the next verse it says, the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us. How awesome is it that the longings of your heart, the things that you desire in your full life, the Holy Spirit is pleading on your behalf for? That's such a comfort. The things which I might even be too scared to go to God for, that the Holy Spirit, God on board with us, is pleading to Jesus for us. In perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny, the full life that God has for you is your destiny. It's a plan to bring goodness to your life. It says at the last verse, God's perfect plan to bring good into our lives. Have you considered the fact that the life you're living now and the life that God has for you doesn't line up? But what encouragement it is that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan. So if you feel out of alignment, take comfort that the God who created you, the God who knows you, who knows your longings, has a plan for you and is continually weaving together his perfect plan into your life. You see, when Jesus is our gate, when he's the access point, when we give him the authority to be that, he allows us to live into our full life, giving us full life in perfect alignment with God's plan, in perfect alignment. But here's the thing, not everything is in alignment. You see, God calls us to be in perfect alignment and to submit to that gate and to have a full life, but not everything in our lives is in alignment with God, which brings me to my second point, that we must send everything through that gate. That everything in our life must enter through that gate. The same way that if I wanted to get on that flight to San Diego, I had to submit everything, all my bags, you know, the clothes on my back, my shoes, everything had to enter through that gate. And it was my experience that not everything I wanted to bring with me on that journey, not everything I wanted to enter that gate with was permitted. Which brings us to the theme of denied access. You see, a gate is an entryway, but every door, the door in your house is an entry point, and some things gain access and some things don't. I love Connect Group. We have a couple people from our Freedom Group here in the house. Hey, Melissa and Daniel, new friends. Check out Connect Groups. I just want to stress this just for a moment. Connect Groups are a vital part of the life of our church. I would not be standing where I am today if it wasn't for the people who I was surrounded with in Connect Groups. I think Connect Groups is an amazing place, not just to meet people, but to take that next step in your life. And so as I share this message about full life, you may be wondering, what is my next step? How do I actually get there? How do I navigate this thing called life? How do I find the path that God has for me? Connect Group is one of the best ways in which you can do that. And so we have over 91 Connect Groups. So please, please plug in. I know it's a step of faith that you have to take, but I know and I trust and I believe that our awesome Connect Group leaders are there to walk out those journeys with you. So, denied access. So yes, we have Connect Group on Wednesday, and people knock on the door, and you know we let people in, but not everyone can come through the door. If a pigeon, if a badger, if a raccoon wants to come into my home, I'm going to deny them access. And so every gate, every entry point either allows things in or doesn't allow them in. And last week, Pastor Sam made an excellent point in his sermon. So Pastor Sam was preaching about the confidence of knowing God's voice. And he dialed down into what the characteristics of God's voice are. If you haven't listened to that sermon, I'd encourage you to check out the podcast on Spotify and iTunes. And he's talking about the characteristics of God's voice. He was listing out these different characteristics because if you know what God's voice ought to sound like, when voices come into your mind, you're able to identify whether it's a voice of God or a voice that's not of God. And he said a line which I really love, and I underlined it in my notes, and it said, that our no makes our yeses stronger. And so that's the idea of entry point, of access, is the strength of your yes is often defined by the conviction of your no's. And that's why Jesus can't let everything through the gate. We bring things home all the time. And so if you think of the sheep in the pasture, and it says in verse 9 that they will come in and go out and find pasture. They'll go through the daily life, which we all do. But when they come home into the safe space, the area of full life that Jesus has for them, that not everything can enter. And so we bring things home all the time. And I have a story about that. It's about my roommate, Gabriel. So I lived in Montreal for several years and I had an amazing roommate called Gabriel. And he would bring home lots of random things. Maybe you've had a roommate like that. Maybe you're living with a roommate like that. Or maybe your spouse is a roommate like that. You know, they just find things around and they think that everything that they find on the street has a purpose within the home. And so the first thing that Gabriel brought home was a picture frame off the street. So student housing, someone probably moved out and left a painting. And Gabriel looked at it and saw it on the street, and he said, man, this would look good in the living room. So I come home from class, and on the wall, it's a painting. And I'm like, great, brightens up the room a bit, that's okay. But it went on from there. So one day I come home, and Gabriel is scaling fish in the kitchen. And I'm like, wow, Gabriel, where'd all this fish come from? So he went ice fishing with his uncle in Ottawa, and he decided to bring home around 40 pounds of fish. So he's just there, you know, scaling the fish, picking up things. He had a Costco membership. He had a Costco membership. Oh, some people know. When you have a Costco membership, you can get a lot of things at a great deal, and you want to bring that home. So we pick things up, and we bring them in the house. Storage issues. It was all good. And the thing I love the most about Gabriel is he brought home a rabbit. So one day I get a text from Gabriel, and he says, hey, man, what would you think about having a rabbit in the house? And I'm like, cool. Let's talk to Cole, our other roommate, and let's figure out whether this is, you know, going to fit with the dynamic of our living situation. Gabriel doesn't reply to the text, but he shows up at the door and he says, Jojo, come on through. I want to show you something. And there's Gabriel holding a box. And I didn't want to look inside, but he opened it up. And inside it was a rabbit called Malcolm. So Malcolm joined the family. It was amazing. But how many of you guys know that that rabbits don't actually eat carrots? They actually eat hay. So the next day, what does Gabriel bring into the house? He brings in bales of hay. And then Malcolm got a little bit lonely and decided it'd be good for Malcolm to have a friend. And so there were two rabbits. Iris, the rabbit, came in. So the point I'm trying to make here is that when we go through the paces of life, when we go through the journey of life, we're constantly picking things up. But not everything we pick up, not everything we find in the street, not everything we discover needs to come into that full life. Not everything that we find appetizing, not everything that we see which draws our eye towards it, is something that we need to bring through. And so we need to submit everything through the gate. Everything has to pass through the gate. And Jesus says that he'll decide whether or not he'll gain access. And it's not because he doesn't want us to have a good life. It's not because he doesn't want us to have fun. Because he knows the full life that he has for us. That he has a perfect plan for your life. And he is the one who decides whether or not something can enter. And that's good news. Because some of the things which we pick up, like rabbits, aren't actually going to bring full life. It's a good idea at first, but Jesus, who's the gate, who's the entry point, he's the one who knows whether or not it's going to bring full life. He's a gatekeeper. A gatekeeper is there to protect, it's to provide safety, to provide security. And the gatekeeper either grants access or denies access, depending on what it is. We must send everything through the gate. And so I'm just going to outline a couple of things which we may unconsciously be picking up in our lives, which we need to bring to the gate of Jesus, which we need to present towards him and say, Jesus, is this something that you want me bringing in? Is this something that will actually bring me full life? We pick up thoughts. When I think of that verse of the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, it brings images of violence. You know, I think of someone maybe mugging me or hitting me on the head as I enter my doorway. But how many of us know that some of the most violent things aren't actually physical? They're actually thoughts. They live up here in the head. So we pick up thoughts as we go through life. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So there's the knowledge of God and there's knowledge not of him. And it goes on and says, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. This is such an important verse. Not every thought that floats through your head is something that deserves to live there. And we need to take captive of our thoughts, submit them to Jesus, and filter them through. Not every thought that wants into your life will support the full life. There are thoughts that are set up against you, and those thoughts are there to rob life from you. Thoughts will come in saying things like, you're a failure. I hear that thought often sometimes, and I have to submit that to the gate and say, Lord, this is not of you, so I'm going to remove that thought so I can enter the full life that you have for me. The cousin of your failure, it says, you don't have what it takes. That's a scary thought. You don't have what it takes, and that is not a thought that is of God. I love Jason's story, and I love that he had thoughts that went through his head because of his experiences, what he experienced in life and the journey that God took him through. But I love that when he found this church, that when he found C3, he was surrounded by people who were able to identify those thoughts. And those thoughts that he was a failure, the thoughts that he didn't have what it takes, that those thoughts were removed because he was surrounded by people of faith who reminded him of that. Another thought that might come to mind is God lied to you or God forgot about you. We're in the series about knowing God's voice, and maybe even in this moment, you don't know what God's voice sounds like. And so because you're experiencing silence or a season of silence, you may think that God's forgotten about you. That's not true, but that's a thought that enters our mind. Or we may receive a word from God and not understand his timing, and the thought will enter our minds that God has lied to you. So we have to take these thoughts. So we have to ask ourselves, what does the Bible say about my identity? And have the faith to fight the thoughts that enter our head which don't belong there. You may be wondering, how do we know? How do I know? How do I know what thought is of God and what thought is not of him? So we need to align our thoughts and ideas to the word of God. That's why we'll always preach from the Bible, because the Bible is the authority, it's the truth of God. And when we have those thoughts pass through our minds, we're able to hold them up, hold up our thought, and hold up the Bible and see if it matches up. And when it doesn't match up, we can have the confidence and faith to know that this is not what God had for me. So that thought is going out the window. I'm thankful that we have the Bible. I'm so thankful that we have the word of God and that we can consult it. We have Christian authority, prophetic voices. There's so many sources in our life which can help identify those thoughts. I'm going to talk about connect groups again. We've got to send our thoughts to the gate, and a connect group is a great place for you to share your thoughts, to share what you feel God is saying or what is in your mind, and submit them to the authority of your connect group leader and help them identify in community what is not of God and what is. Other things that we pick up on the way. We pick up the rabbit of temptation. We pick up temptation. So in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overcome you except what is common to mankind. That's good news. If you're here in this room today and you feel like there's a temptation that is plaguing your mind that won't stop nagging you, I think one of the biggest lies the devil will say is that you're the only one who deals with that temptation. He'll isolate you, put you in the corner, and tell you that that thing you're dealing with, that thing you're struggling with, you're the only one who deals with it. Not true. And how do we know that? 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it goes on to say, God is faithful. We serve a faithful God. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. That's another piece of good news. Not only is your temptation something that is not uncommon to mankind, but God will also won't tempt you beyond what you can bear. So you can have faith that you can fight that temptation, knowing that God has created you as someone who can fight back. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. I want to highlight that. It doesn't say when we are tempted. It just says when we are tempted, not if. So even in the full life that God has promised, even when we walk into that full life, it's not an if, it's a when. So when temptation comes, you can be ready knowing that it's there. Temptation happens when we focus on something, that we shouldn't be focusing on, when we're directed by our flesh and not living in God's perfect plan for our lives. Different areas of temptation in our lives, it could be around a romantic relationship. It could be around selfish desires, substance abuse, emotional undiscipline. There's so many areas of life. I know that I've fought my battles with temptation and that you have your battles of your own. But these are things we need to take captive and we need to submit to the gate of Jesus. The last point is we pick up wrong voices. We must send our wrong voices through the gate. What are the voices in your life? We're talking in this series about the voice of God, knowing what God's voice sounds like. But sometimes the voice of people is a lot more accessible. You can talk to someone in person. You can get a DM, text messages, Facebook messages, FaceTime. There's so many ways we can hear different voices, but not every voice that we hear is granted access by Jesus. There are voices of distraction. You find the voice of God, you're taking two steps this way. And before you know it, there's another voice dragging you in this direction. There are voices of lies. We discussed that in the previous point about the thoughts. There are voices which will speak lies into your life. And if we're not careful and if we're not aware of what we're doing, that we'll let those voices take captive of our minds. There's voices of the world. The full life that Jesus has for you is completely at odds with the voices of the world. Completely at odds. And that's a difficult truth to digest, but we need to take captive of these voices and submit them to the gate. There's voices of compromise. The voice of God may be calling you out and asking you to take a step of faith, but the voice of compromise will creep into your head and say, you know that thing that God said? Yeah, don't go 100%. Just hold back a little bit. One of the cultural points we live out as a church is we're hashtag all in. When we get baptized, we don't just kind of go in the water. We fully dunk people. I love that video of Jason. Pastor Sam grabs him. Bam, fully in the water, fully out. Complete immersion, hashtag all in. And the hashtag all in mentality and the voice of compromise, they can't live in the same living room. They're not compatible. We must submit everything through the gate. Voices of well-meaning Christians. This is a tricky one. Sometimes voices within the church, people who know God and love God and have the best intentions, can undercut what God is trying to accomplish in your life. Not every voice that you hear is a voice of God. That's a scary thought. But think about it. I think that sometimes God calls us out to something and it might be in the middle of shaping you and there'll be a voice of someone who is sincere but sincerely wrong who's asking you to compromise, who's asking you to pull back. I know I've been that voice in someone's life before. There have been times where I've told people, you know what? Yeah, just give yourself a bit of a break. But God was in the middle of shaping them into something and my voice of distraction, my voice of compromise took them away from the path which was leading them for full life. But praise Jesus, they listened to the voice of God and they're able to experience that full life. And so if you are in a season where you feel hard-pressed on every side, if you're on team, I want you to know that the voice of God reigns supreme, and you can always trust the voice of God. And so we must send everything through the gate, our thoughts, temptations, and our voices. Because here's the thing, if God is taking you through something, full life is on the other side of that gate. Full life is on the other side of that experience. And so this is who we are as a church. And here at the North Campus, we will always, always, always present people with that opportunity to enter through that gate of Jesus to experience full life. This is what we commit to achieving. So if you're here today and you're just checking us out, I want you to know that this is what everyone will be asked to do. And I love that we get to do that together, that we get to see the full life that God has for us on the other side of that gate, that we get to walk together, do life together, and identify those things which may take us away. And praise Jesus, we have a gate, an entrance point, or an access point where we can experience that thought. Which brings me to the third point, which is the result of surrendering to the gate is full life. So why don't you welcome up Pastor Sam, who's going to wrap up this message for us.
Come on, give what? JoJo. Wow. Oh, man. That was the first time you preached. I don't believe you. I'm just going to get the band up. That is awesome. JoJo is so spot on with this idea of surrender. Surrendering to God is how we gain access to the full life. The gate, Jesus being the gate, is an invitation to give him full authority in our world. So when you're going through the airport, you don't get to go on the plane where there is life unless you submit everything to the authority. So what the gate really is asking, it's talking about lordship. And many of us in our lives, the reason that we don't experience full life is because we water down the gate with many gates. So instead of Jesus becoming the gate, he just becomes another gate. And when we're convenient as Christians, is what we can do is things that are easy to pass through Jesus, we do, but then there are other things in our lives that is really quite confronting that Jesus really wants to help us through, but we got to surrender every area of our life to him. And he's begging. He is begging. In the beginning of this passage, he's going, come on, I'll say this again. Truly, truly, I am the gate. He's saying, I know that there is people that are skeptical of who I am. I know it might feel weird sometimes when Jesus says, if you just place all your trust in me, because it can feel safer to diversify. If you're an investor, you don't just invest in one account. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. The world teaches us that there is better security to diversify. At the gate at the airport, it's called security. And when you pass everything through security, the result of it is the title of the gate, security. Because you don't walk on the plane thinking, I'm fearing my life. You're thankful that there was a gate. So you know that everything was filtered, because while you're surrounded by a bunch of other people who you don't know their intentions, you don't know why they're in this world that you're in, this gigantic metal tube flying through the sky. So the whole point of the gate is to promote life. And when the most insecure I could ever be is when I am Lord over any area of my own life. The shakiness of my world is only when I am the master. But when I surrender to the gate, when I surrender to Jesus, who's the door, who has my best interest at heart, and he's begging you, he's coming, like, seriously, guys. This isn't a rouge. It's not weird. I mean, I know the devil went and talked to Eve and he planted things in her head and he tricked her and he was a thief, but I'm not that. I'm begging you, truly, just pay attention for a second. And I'm not necessarily suggesting that the other Christians in church that share good advice, but it kind of takes us away from God, or the other friend that doesn't even follow God, they're a good person. Are they thieves and robbers? The boss that I work for, who's not always giving me advice to go to church on Sunday, but would rather I work on Sunday, is my boss a thief? Or some of you are like, yeah, my boss is a thief. I mean, there are well-meaning good people everywhere, and every thought, not every good thought is a God thought. Jess and I often talk about this new subject called life balance. But no character I read in the Bible has it. I read about these people in the Bible that are doing extraordinary things from God, and none of them were defined by balance. So balance is a good thought, but it's actually not a God thought. So therefore that thought is stealing from the full life, from the predestined, God-ordained plan that aligns where he's trying to bring good things into my life. But here's the thing, that God is so separate from every kind of God thing, that in contrast to how much hope, how much life, how much favor, how much blessing, how much faith that we can have in contrast, everything else might as well be a thief and a robber. Like, it's so different how good God is. And I don't know what your experience has been, but if there is an area in your life, like there has been many times in my life, where I've kind of had a bit more control and I haven't given it to Jesus. Could be my relationships. Last year, Jess and I, 3 times in 1 year, were subject of robbery. Our house got broken into, jewelry got stolen, Jess's engagement ring felt taken advantage of. In Atlanta, we were there with team, I was there with Amanda, your laptop got stolen, our car got jacked. I was in Mexico, money got stolen from us from a gas station, and I was like, man, you know, like I'm you feel taken advantage of. You've like, I'm a tourist coming into this country. I'm bringing economy and health to the country just by me even traveling here. But that's not enough. And then, like, I got robbed. And you just have these, you kind of place your hope in a system or hope in something. I place my hope in the fact that I have a front door and some windows, but that didn't stop the thief coming anyway. I place my hope in this marriage. But why is it not resulting the way I thought? I'm getting frustrated. Well, is that surrendered to the gate? My thinking, my intelligence, I went to university for this and all these thoughts, but my career is not working out the way I set it out to be. Well, is it surrendered to the gate? Did every thought, every decision, every action get filtered through the security found in Jesus? I'm anxious over money and I can't sleep at nights. He is the Prince of Peace. And if you give that to Him, you will find security found in who He is. These temptations, I can't fight them. I can't battle them. I feel weak. Well, what else do we have? Just surrender. All right, I give up. I don't know how to beat this thing, this sexual sin, the temptation to compromise, the temptation to live under God's best for my life. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a couple of things here at the end of this very first amazing, perfectly executed launch Sunday at North. Because we're going to, come on. I know that this location is going to grow fast. And it's not for numbers' sake, it's because healthy things grow. And the health of this beginning Sunday, this community is going to flourish. People from around this area, we're going to be doing 2 services in here in no time. We need to. Come on. This is beautiful. It says there in John 10 verse 9, it says that Jesus, I am the gate and all who come through me will be saved. So first, I'm just going to ask that if anybody needs to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior or rededicate their lives, and we're going to pray a prayer together. Then after that, we've got a few people here. Pastor Jess is here, Pastor Jojo and Mariel. I know there might be a couple of other staff here. That if there is an area of your life that if you were to be honest, you feel frustrated in, you feel like there's something stealing the life every time. I placed my hope. I thought I was going to be married, but why? I kind of get there and life is stolen. This career, I kind of get there. I think it's working. And then all of a sudden, falls through my fingers. Life is stolen. I'm making these decisions. I'm doing my thing. And then as I'm doing my thing, it's like, why in the end of this? Hope, it just never falls into place and life is stolen. I keep giving myself, I'm sleeping around and I want to find love, or I keep falling into these same habits and these same categories. But every time, you know, I feel it for a little bit. I feel like a little bit of buzz or a little bit of life, but in the end, it just falls through. Stolen. Well, maybe it's time that in that area, you come forward, come to the front and say, Lord, from now on, everything goes through you. And whatever you deny, I'll deny. Whatever you grant access to, I'll grant access to. Because you're the gate. So with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, there are people in this room that have never invited Jesus into their heart. And in a moment, I'm going to ask people to raise their hand up with nobody looking around. And we're going to pray a prayer together as a church that's going to say, Jesus, I accept you and I want to invite you into my life and I want to live for you. And when I say, when I ask, you'll raise your hand as a sign before God to say, I want to be included in this prayer. Or maybe you're someone, you have made this decision before, but you've taken life into your own hands and you know that you need to re-surrender and recommit your life to Jesus. And when I say people lift up their hand, you too are going to raise your hand up before heaven and say, I want to be included in this prayer. I want to recommit my life, rededicate my life to Jesus. Or maybe you're someone, if you were to die, you would second guess whether there is a place for you in heaven. The Bible says that Jesus is the way to the Father and that He is our assurance for salvation. So if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you want to commit your heart to Jesus, invite Him into your life, begin a relationship with Him, or you want to rededicate your life to Christ, or you want the assurance found in salvation, if you want to be sure, with nobody looking around, raise your hand up nice and high so I can see it before heaven.